Okay, if you would open your Bible to the book of Matthew, the second chapter. Does anybody need a Bible? Bibles? Pamela, you going to pass them out? Matthew chapter 2. And it's kind of fail at this time of year, or at this season of Christmas and Thanksgiving. I didn't plan this, in case anybody is wondering, wow, did Lynn plan to preach this right here at this time of year? I didn't. It just happened, somehow or another happened to fall at this time of year, about some things. It's been things that have been rolling over in my mind and back in my heart. Just I always have something that's on the burner in the back of my subconscious. There's always some things burning, like, for instance, the serpent in Genesis chapter 3 is constantly on the back of my thoughts as to what it really is, that it is not a snake. I say that, you know, and I know that's so against religion, and but it is not a snake. The Kundalini energy that goes in our body all the time, that we don't recognize it, we don't know anything about it. In the Western world, we don't even talk about it, and it's kind of foreign to our thinking, when we should, because it's the energy that we are. It is us. And I was thinking this morning, how many of you can relate to this circumstance? How many of you have ever, in turning your TV off or turning your TV on, get close enough to the screen, or have gotten close enough to the screen, that all of a sudden your hair pulls out and goes to the screen? Has any of y'all ever, yeah? Y'all have had that happen to you? And have you ever wondered, wow, what's on that screen? And it's an energy that's connecting to the protein, or your hair pulls it out. It's not something you can see. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning, is an energy. And an energy is a vibration, and that's what God is. God is energy. He's light. Light is energy. It vibrates. It vibrates so fast you can't see it. I mean, you just can't see it. But what we do, the reason we see our flesh, it is energy also, but it's slowed down. The vibration is dense. It's real slow, and so we can see it. So the denser the energy, the more we can see it. The higher the level of energy, the less likely we can see it. So the higher the level of energy doesn't mean that it is not. Actually, it means that it is a greater form, or it is a greater level of energy. And so what I want us to do this morning is I want us to look at something that we... And I say this, I want us to look at something that we can't see with our physical eye. So this morning we're going to look at the unseen. So let's do that. So here we go. In Matthew chapter 2, look at verse 1. We'll just read through this, and I'll come back and comment on it. Just a few things I want to comment about this. In verse 1 it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men." My Bible has a note. It's a note annotated Bible, and beside it, it says magi, wise men. And if you look in the Amplified says astrologers. So the first people who pays Jesus, the baby Jesus, the first people who pays him a visit, comes to visit him in the hospital, are who? Astrologers. Now I want you to hear what that said. These are Babylonian astrologers. These are wise men from the East. And, you know, a lot I could like to say about that, but I won't, because it's not necessarily the... But I do want you to pay attention to that fact, that these are the people who come to visit Jesus. Astrologers, wise men. Verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the East." Everybody say, "We've seen his star." In the East. Now I want you to notice where they saw it, because see, in the Bible stories, they try to picture the star was over the crib there in Jerusalem or Bethlehem where he was born. That's not where it says that they saw the star, because you see, Jerusalem is actually what you would call the Middle East. if you go over to that block of country, you would say the east would be India or China. India or China is actually considered the east, whereas Rome or Europe or France, those were considered the west, and then the Middle East would be Jerusalem, Iraq, those countries in there. That was the Middle East. But notice, it says they were in the east when they saw this. So really what these astrologers were doing is that they were doing what they do. And that was, they were reading the signs of the zodiac. And they understood those signs. And in those signs, they saw that there was a crossing or a coming together of five planets that lined up with the moon, and that was called a particular time or a season. And there's a lot said about that, because the way the earth and the way the planets and the way the sun all revolve and turn within the Milky Way, within our galaxy, there are precessions that take place every 25,000 years. There are precessions that only take place every 12,000 years. There are precessions that take place only approximately every 2,000 years. And in these precessions is when there's certain alignments of these moon, stars, planets, these planetary systems. These astrologers understood how to read that. They would look at it and they could draw from it knowledge or wisdom or all kinds of insights. And so the astrologers were called prophets. So they could look at that and they could foretell or tell forth. So they were reading these signs. Now, I know this goes in the face of all of our religious thinking. They were reading these signs and understanding these signs and knowing that in these signs it causes the earth to go through the gyrations that it goes through, and it causes the people on it to do and to respond to that energy that's coming from there. Whether you recognize it or you don't recognize it, it still causes you to react from it. Just exactly when you go close to the TV, whether you notice it or you don't notice it, the energy will pull your hair toward it. It's just a simple truth or a fact, or a scientific truth or a fact. So they, verse saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Now I know the Bible stories looks like that somehow or another a star set over that crib, supposedly, in the story, and they've come from the east and followed that. That's not what it says. It says they saw it in the east because they were understanding the signs of the time. Verse 3, when Herod the king had heard of this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And we had gathered all the chief priests, the scribes, and the people together. In other words, he got all of his sharp Jews together. That's basically what it says. He got his sharp Jews. In other words, he got his people together to try to read this thing themselves so that they could see what's going on here. So he gathered all of the chief priests, the scribes, and the people together, and he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this, thus it is written by the prophets, and though Bethlehem in the land of Judah are not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, notice what he did, Herod wasn't happy with what that the Jews and their wise men and their scribes told him. He wasn't satisfied with what they had to say. So what he does is he calls for the same astrologers. He calls for these guys from the east, these Babylonian astrologers. He calls them to him so that they can tell him. So verse 7, then Herod, when he had privately, he did that, not letting anybody know what he's doing, he inquired of them diligently that the time, what time the star appeared. So what he's saying is, what was this alignment in the zodiac? What was this alignment, and what does it mean, and what does it say? Because you see that was so predominant in that culture, especially in the Eastern culture of India and China, because they read that and still do today. It was also very dominant in Egyptian culture. Just like when you talk about Abraham. Abraham was a Chaldean. The Chaldeans, who are considered either Indians or Chinese or somewhere a mixture in that area of the country, the East. See, just like over here, if we talk about the East over here, we're talking about North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, on up into Maine, those are the eastern countries. If we talk about the West, we're talking about California, etc. So if we say, well, he's from the East, we say, well, he's from Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, New York, somewhere on the eastern coast. Or if we say, well, he's from the West, we say, well, most likely he's from Texas or further out. Right? It's not any different. We have to understand these were people, these were wise people, astrologers that come from another place. And they were required here, or so the story goes, they were telling forth some things that they were reading. So verse 8, it says, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring my word again, that I may come and worship him. And verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east, again, it verifies where they were at, where they saw this, they understood this alignment, went before them till it came, and they stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down, and they worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream, now I want you to notice what it says in verse 12, being warned of God in a dream, God was evidently concerned about these astrologers. God wasn't mad at them. Like, you know, most of religious teaching going to teach us that God's mad at astrologers. He wasn't mad at these guys because he warns them in a dream and says, y'all need to go on your way, depart, don't go back down there because they got other plans for you. So that's kind of how the story goes. So these magi, or these wise men, they left and they went back to where they were from. Now, go with me to Psalms chapter 19. This is the passage that I'm using, that I will use over the next several weeks to try to establish the things I would like to say, things that I would like, that I feel God would like for us to see, and things I feel like God would like for us to hear. And I realize that, and I say it a lot, I realize that many of the things that we will say will be controversial to our traditional thinking. You know, and I don't apologize for that, and I don't try to beat that drum too much to say that these things we need to hear. I think that we need to have another approach than the one we've had to try to see what God's saying. Because when I look at tradition and I look at the traditional church and I look at the religious institutions, what I see is institutions that try to defend their points of view so much so that they do not care about other people who have different points of view. In actuality, they hate those people. They are against those people. When I do not feel that way, I'm not against someone who has another point of view. I'm not at all against them. I'm not trying to put them down. I'm not trying to burn them in hell. that's not my purpose. My purpose is to try to see if I can see what God has said or is saying to me. So that's why I have this different approach. Psalms 19, it says, the heavens declare. Everybody say declare.
Declare.
That means that they speak. That means that they talk. Now, when we talk about the heavens, I'm talking about the atmosphere. I'm talking about the zodiac. I'm talking about the stars. I'm talking about the moon, the planets. I'm talking about the heavens. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's what this means. That's what this passage. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Now, if you and me want to know about the glory of God, because it says that the glory of God was in the face of Christ. So if we, and I think most people want to know about the glory of God. And all the glory, this means is honor or weight. Weight just simply means he's weight. He's weighty. It's like if you were to get in the presence of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is weighty because of, you know why? He's rich. So his riches gives him a certain weight a certain presence. Well, there's not any kind of riches can be compared to the riches of who God is. So God is weighty. He owns it all. He's healthy. He's honorable. So God, that's what it means. It says the heavens declare, they speak, and they tell of this weight, this honor. And that's what I believe we want to know. It says, and the firmament shows his handiworks. So I want you to see those words. The heavens declare it. The firmament shows his handiworks. And verse 2, it says, day unto day. In other words, day after day. Every day utters speech. So every day has something to say. Just like the energy that's pulling your hair from that TV, you can't see it. God is speaking words from the firmament if you can hear them. See, our problem is we are not tuned in to hear them, because we are only tuned in to hear natural man speak natural words. It's hard for us to tune ourselves in to hear spiritual words or to hear God speak. And we do know in Romans chapter 10 it says that you cannot have faith unless you hear God speak. So the other side of that coin would be, if you do hear God speak, you do have faith.
Amen.
Help us to hear that, Lord. And it says in Hebrews, it's impossible to please God without faith. So all faith is then is hearing what God said and then trusting that what God said, God will do, God will perform His word if we can hear that. So, how do you hear God speak? Well, you don't hear God speak by reading a book. And I know that rubs us raw. I'm not against reading the book. Matter of fact, I think you ought to read the book. I think you ought to study the book. But I also think, listen to this, I also think that we need to lay everything aside and learn to just get silent and hear. Because it's in the silence. Do you remember the Psalms? It says, be still and know God. It's in the silence where we can get quiet and intimate that we begin to hear God speak. And I realize, you know, what we want to hear is many times we want to hear God just say a whole line of words. Yet the heavens, day after day, are uttering speech. Right now, God's speech is coming forth if we could just hear it. You know, it's getting quiet. In that quiet moment, in that still moment, is where we begin to hear God speak. And I want to say this to you. Many of the things that God says are intuitively planted inside you. And you may walk away after a time of quietness and a time of saying, well, I was real quiet. I sat there and just listened to my breath. Just didn't pay any attention. I didn't hear a thing. You know why? You were listening with your natural ears instead of the ears of your spirit. And when you go away, hour, 2 hours later, next day, some kind of an intuitive thought rose up inside you. And you said, wow, where'd that come from? Well, God said that to you. You just didn't know it. You didn't hear it. You didn't pay any attention to it. Now, that can begin to happen on a consistent basis. That's what God wants us to learn to do, is learn to hear this consistency of His voice. Because notice what He said, verse 2 again, day after day utter speech. And that's not something that you turn on the 6 o'clock news or read a newspaper to see or hear. It says, night after night shows knowledge. But verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice... Everybody say, their voice is not heard. In other words, what it says is there's not a language or a people on the earth that can't hear what God is saying. There's not anybody. So God is speaking to us and God is saying something to us. And I will say this, He speaks out of the volume of the book. And the volume of the book is 12 books, which are the 12 signs of the zodiac, which have 3 chapters each that say phenomenal things. That's what these wise men were reading. reading. That's what they heard. That's what they saw. They understood what they were saying. They understood what God was saying. And that's why God said to them, you need to go on down the way. You don't need to hang around here because these guys have other things in mind. Now, you'd think, well, since these were astrologers, God would have tricked them and brought them in there so they could kill them. Because that's what religion teaches you, isn't it? I mean, that's how religion looks at it. Because really, I don't care what religion you want to espouse. That's how they would look at that. And especially if you have a Judeo-Christian religious belief, because you have that concept that you think that God is mean and mad at everybody else because they don't think like us. They don't talk like us. So the best thing we can do is kill them all and get rid of them. Burn them in hell if necessary, but let's just get rid of them because they're not like us. Why can't we see through the fallacy of that? Why can't we see through the meanness of that? Why would we want a God that would be that angry, that mean, that selfish, and all the other things that you could simulate with that mindset? Because that's not the mind of God. There's not a people on the earth God don't love. And there's not a people on the earth that God is angry or mad at. So see, the stars, which is the voice of God, speaks and is speaking. And that's how we have faith. And faith is probably one of the most important ingredients that you could have to living a Christian life. I mean, it is, because faith is what gives you the energy to be and to do the most miraculous things God's called you to be and do.
You talked about the 12 zodiac. With each zodiac, there was three decans.
It's decks, divisions. There's three divisions among each one of the 12 constellations, which gives, you have the 12 signs, and then you have 36 decans, which are, like I said, they're like books or chapters. They're like chapters in the book. And we'll talk a lot about those. It's exactly what because you see, each one of the 12 decans is in a 30-degree slice of pie. And all of the astrologers understood that, and they knew that, and they would read each one of them in their 30 degrees. And there are so many things. If your mind goes in types and shadows and new numbers and you understand the numerical values of things, your mind can just go all kinds of ways in the spirit, if you will allow it to.
But see, you're talking about 360 degrees. 360 degrees is a complete circle.
Exactly.
A circle is an eternal sign.
That's right.
So if it's an eternal sign, then it's forever and ever and ever.
That's right.
There's no change.
That's right. There is no change, nor variableness, nor shadow of turning in it. It's always the same. Says the same thing to every nation, every culture, every century. Every millennial, it doesn't change. The same thing it said 5,000 years ago, it says today. The same thing it said 25,000 years ago, it says today. Because there's not any variableness in its speech. Now, that should tell us something. If we learn how to read it, can it be used? Can it be used? Yes, you sure can and should. Okay, go with me to Job. Now, these are just some basic chapters, books in the Bible that I'm using to try to just establish this idea, because I realize it's so foreign to us as far as our thinking. Job chapter 38, look at verse 31. Job chapter 38, verse 31. And in verse 31, it says, "Can you bind the sweet influence of Pleiades?" That's one of the 30 degrees in the 360 circle that Gary's talking about, Pleiades is. "Or loose the bands of Orion." That's another one of those 30 degree. Or in other words, books and the volumes of the books. So in the volume of the book of Pleiades, it is written. So in that grouping of stars, God's word is speaking. In that group of stars of Orion, God's word is speaking. There are three chapters in that book. Can you bind, notice verse 32, can you bring forth Maseroth? The word Maseroth, again, in my Bible, mine is a note annotated Bible, and on the sign it says Zodiac. The Zodiac is the 12 signs, are the 12 constellations, are the 12 30-degree increments of the path of the sun and the moon as they move around the earth. So as we said, as Gary said, as they go in this circle, and a circle always is a symbol of God because it has no beginning and it has no end, it's always a symbol of eternity. So, and that's how you, if you kind of look off out into space, if you look at the moon on a beautiful clear night like we had the other night, you see the moon is a circle. You look at the sun on a day where it's cloudy and you can kind of see through the clouds and you see the sun, you see that it's a circle. If you were out there looking down here, you'd see the earth is a circle. So all those symbols refer to God in His eternalness, in the aspect of Him as eternal. He's eternal. Verse 32, can you bring forth the Maseroth in his season, or can you guide different ones? And so what he mentions here, he mentions the different signs are different ones. He don't mention all of them. He just mentions them. But the word Maseroth just means the separate chambers are these 12 divisions. And these 12 divisions, and I want you to please listen to this. These are important ideas. These 12 divisions are always called houses. Or listen to this. They're also called mansions. Or they're also called tabernacles. So what happens is, in the volume of the book, or in these 12 different books, these 12 houses, these 12 mansions, these 12 tabernacles, God's voice is constantly coming forth out of the house of Bethel, which is the house of God. Help us to hear this, Lord. So this house is always speaking, and these divisions, which is the different 12 places of the book that the moon and the sun go through as they travel in their journey. When these magi's were looking at the stars, that's what they were looking. They were looking at certain houses and how that they were aligned and how the planets and stars and the moon were all coming together. And when that happens, you have to understand, even though you cannot see it with your physical eye, when it happens, it totally affects the earth. Just like I told Dad here several years ago when he was going through some ordeal, I said, the nights are made to sleep, the days are made to move about and carry on your business, just exactly like the moon. When you watch a full moon or a quarter moon or a half moon, watch it as it affects that body of water we call the ocean. It will move that body of water out and it will let that body of water come in. And you say, how does it do that? Because just like when you pass in front of that TV and it draws your hair, when those systems, those books are passing over us and passing around us, they're always saying something if we could hear it. They are declaring the glory of God. So in that, they are declaring the purpose and the plans of God if we had an ear to hear that. Lord, help us to hear that. Alright, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. See if we can get an idea as to how this got started. You know, when you're working with the book we call the Bible, sometimes it's hard to work with this book. And I hate to have to tell you this. The reason it's so hard to work with it many times is because of the additions or the deletions, the way they have deleted words or the way they have added words or the way they have compiled books and left out books and the way that it has happened and it has evolved over the years to try to prove certain religious points or views or ideas. So when you take the Bible and you're trying to declare something that's this phenomenal or that's this great, sometimes it's difficult. And if you don't have an ear to see it, or if you don't know how to rightly divide the word, you can come up with all kinds of religious ideas and denominations. And we have, and we constantly do. Genesis chapter 1 verse 14, it says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs. Everybody say signs. Here is the Hebrew word oath, and it actually means a token or an evident. These signs, these 12 signs are tokens, are their evidence of God's voice. They're set there. God placed them there. I mean, you have to, all that seems to be so common. We should just say, oh yeah, okay, I see that. And it says, let them be for signs and let them be for seasons. The word, Hebrew word, moed, which means an appointment. Hear this. It means an assembly. And the word assembly, actually it means it's convened for a definite purpose. Have you ever heard that people say, well, we're going to have an assembly, or we're going to convene for a definite purpose? Like, for instance, if we say we're going to have a Christmas party, or we're going to come together and we're going to discuss particular things at that assembly, at that appointed time, at that season. That's exactly what that's saying. That's what God is saying. He said, I set these here. They are certain appointments. I have convened them because I have something to say to you. Wow. So he said, the signs and seasons for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so, and God made two great lights. Everybody say two. The sun and the moon. And when you talk about the sun and the moon, now I want you to hear this. Here again, you're going back to numerology, you go back to types and shadows, you go back to metaphors. The sun and the moon was a typology of Christ. Jesus is just a type of mankind. Emmanuel, Jesus was a type of you. Of any of them, any mankind, any of us. Who we are. He was a type of us. He was a type of flesh that's wrapped itself around God. Can y'all understand that? That's what Emmanuel means. It just means God just been wrapped up in flesh. That's who you are. And I realize that's so difficult for us to understand. But when he talks about the sun and the moon, the sun is the light, and it takes this journey through these 12 books, and these 12 books are always talking about this path, this way, these steps that the sun and the moon take in their journey as they go around through there. And you see, it's not like God's left us without a direction or a plan. He has. We just don't know how to follow it. We don't know how to follow the directions. We don't know how to read the plan. We completely have lost it. So it says, God made two great lights. Look at what he said, verse 16. God made two great lights. Let's say the sun, which is a type of, now hear this, is a type of mankind, whom mankind is the Son of God. Can that resonate with y'all? It don't matter what nationality that mankind is. Don't matter male or female. When I'm saying mankind, the whole entire populace, the whole race of being is the Son of God. Well, I thought y'all get real excited about that. Oh boy, hallelujah! No, see, it's not just referring to one specific person. See, religion tries to focus us in on, oh, he was the Son of God, I'm not. Well, I'm sorry to bust your bubble. You are. You are the Son of God. And then, he says, the sun, which rules the day. And then he says, the moon, which rules the night. So, you notice that? You have two rulers, the sun and the moon. And the moon, the reason it rules is because it has the ability to reflect the sun. And that's all it does. So verse 17, and God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and divided the light from the darkness. And God said that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. In other words, God placed this particular idea, this concept, he placed it in the fourth day. Everybody say fourth day. Fourth day always refers to north, south, east, and west. In other words, to give you directions. The reason you have a north, south, east, and west is just give you some direction. You ever got disoriented? And when you were disoriented, you know why you were disoriented? You didn't know whether it was up, down, north, south, east, or west. In other words, you lost your direction. Well, I declare unto you, we are a people who've lost our direction. We don't know the north from the south, the east from the west. We don't have a clue what body or book that things are in when they're speaking and what God's saying as He speaks from these four corners of the earth, from these four directions. He gave us those four directions. Okay. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. A few more books here I want us to look at before we quit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I just want to look at one verse here. Verse 11, it says, "For other foundations can no man lay than that that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Everybody see that? Verse 11, For other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid. Did you get that? Now, I'm going to try to make this clearer so we can see this. The foundations that are laid are those 12 books that are in the heavens that God laid them there, God put them there, and they have always been there. All we have done as mankind is many times we've tried to duplicate them. But those 12 books are 12 different volumes that God says, this is the way, this is the steps that leads to life. As a matter of fact, the word zodiac comes from the root word zoe, which means to live. Z-A-O, zoe, which means to live. And the Hebrew word zeod, Z-S-O-I-D, means the way, the path, or the steps. How many of y'all have ever heard of the 12-step program? If you were an alcoholic or drug addict and you've ever been to those, they're called the 12 steps or the 12 paths. Well, God has a 12-step program. He has 12 paths. If we could see, and those 12 steps, those paths, are the foundation that God has laid. Now, go with me to the book of Revelation. You see these scriptures, and we'll put them together here. The book of Revelation, chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, and look at verse 1. Everybody found it? And what does it say? There was seen a great wonder where? There was seen a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of what?
12 stars.
Had 12 stars. 12 stars was the crown upon her head. Now, who do you think this woman is? Again, we deal so many types. This is the church, or this is that body that God calls the church, or that body of people that God calls the ecclesia, which just simply means those people who should be able to look at these 12 different stars, or 12 different books, or 12 different volumes, and read from them the plan and the purposes of God. But most of the time we can't. Now look at Revelation 21. Just flip over a couple pages. And I want to read quite a bit here. I need to read several passages so y'all can see this. We'll see this, we'll read this, and then you can chew on it. You can spit it up, or you can chew it and swallow it, and you can say, I don't mean that. Or you can do whatever you have to do with it, you know, because we get so... chapter 21, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city." Now, this is the new heaven and the new earth, the holy city. What he's saying is, I had the ability now, not just to see with my natural eyes, I have the ability now, I can see with the eyes of my spirit, I can see what God is saying, I can see what God is doing, and in that, when I see that, then I change. The word pass away right here in verse 1, it means to go from one condition to the other condition. So he says, what I said is, I come from this condition where I was just carnal, sold into sin. I come from that condition to where now then I realize I am a spiritual man. My eyes are open and I'm passing from this condition to this condition. I'm experiencing transformation. I'm being changed by the working of the Spirit that's taking place inside me. It does not say that God is mad at the terra firma, in other words, the earth, that it looks horrible or it looks bad or it's corrupt or whatever, and I'm going to burn it up and blow it up because I need to change it. Because you and I are the earthen vessels of God that have to go from this one condition to another condition. In other words, change or transformation. So verse 2, he said, John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride and adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, do you understand? He's in his place of stillness and quietness. It says in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, it says he was in the Spirit. You think you can't be there? See, most of us think, well, I can't be there. John was in the Spirit, and you can be in the Spirit too. You can live and move and walk in the Spirit. He said, I was in the Spirit, and when I was in the Spirit, I heard these 12 books, these 12 constellations, these 12 different things, these crowns on the throne. I heard them speak, and here's what they said. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Actually, it just means that he will encamp or he will reside in them. They'll be his people, and he shall be with them, and he'll be their God. He is their God. In verse 9, drop down to verse 9, because I just want to really read through this. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and he talked with me, saying, come here, and I will show you the bride. And I'm going to pause for just a minute as I go through this, because I have to do this. You see, when you and me, we learn that these seven, and they're mentioned all the way through Scripture. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, you will see that Noah began to read of these seven different levels, or seven different energy systems that have a certain level of vibration. And all seven of them, he called them the rainbow. How many of you realize there's seven colors in the rainbow? And as you go through that, you will have to understand that all of these different seven 7 days of the week, it don't matter which it is, there are seven energy systems, seven seals. Those seven seals are in the physical body. And hear me. Oh, please help us to hear this, Lord. You have the sexual organ. That's the first seal, or the first energy. And you move up into the loins, into the groin area. And you have, that's what you considered your strength, where people move and where they come around. And then you move on up into the stomach, the appetite. And most of all humanity are stuck there. If it's not sexual or it don't taste good, to hell with it. I don't have nothing to do with it. That's where most all of humanity is at. It's either in the macho of their strength, the loin of their ability, I'm stronger than you, I can whoop you, I can do this, you can't do that, or sex, it just this or that or the other, or it's I'm hungry, let's eat. And we're stuck there as a human being, and we fight there, and as long as you stay there, those are the three seals, those are the three lower levels of the human existence, and we're stuck in those lower levels, and we can't seem to rise above that. Because when you begin to rise above it, you get into your heart, where compassion, where unconditional love exists, where you begin to love all mankind, you get up into your throat seal, where your mouth is loosed, and you can speak the oracles of God as he speaks out of the heavens to us as mankind. And when he talks about these seven angels, these seven seals, these seven chakras, these seven centers, these seven energies, God wants us to rise up so we can come to that seventh one, the mind of Christ. That this mind be in you that was in Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made of himself no reputation. He said, God said it, hallelujah, I can do it. Oh, sweet Jesus, help us. Oh, we get so sidetracked. which had the seven vials full of the seven plagues, talked with me saying, come here, I want to show you something. Come up here with me. I'm going to show you the bride. I'm going to show you the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and a high mountain. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. What did he see? He understood. He saw these 12 different temples, these 12 mansions, these 12 cities as one. He saw them coming out of the heavens, out from the presence of God, having the, verse 11, having the glory of God. Didn't it not say in Psalms 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God? The 12 signs of the zodiac, those 12 increments of divisions of 30 each that makes the complete circle, the path of the sun and the moon, they declare the glory of God. Verse 11, having the glory of God, and her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a wall great and high, and the 12 gates. Now we're talking about 12 gates because these 12 books are just like 12 gates. 12 gates just simply means they're doorways. They're ways into something. You see, when you got, we go back to the early birthing of the church, the infancy of the church, the way the church was born and the structure of the church, it had an initiation. And in that initiation, there were 12 steps. Hallelujah. That the 12 books would unveil. I believe that they're the same thing today. They're no different. Hallelujah. Verse 12 says, I had a wall, great wall, and high, and 12 gates, and the 12 angels, the gates, 12 angels, and the names were written, the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, on the east, 3 gates, and on the north, 3 gates, and on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations. Do you remember I just read to you in 1 Corinthians that there is a foundation that God laid, no other man can lay it? We're talking about that foundation. In that foundation, here's what it looks like. Verse 14, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he had talked with me, and he said, had taken a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof, and the city lied four square, and the da 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 da, and da da. It goes on, verse 17, and he measured the wall thereof at 100, and went on down, verse 18, and the building of the wall was as jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedon, the fourth emerald, sardox, sardis, chrysolite. That's the one that Superman was born out. That was a joke. Okay, he really wanted that. Just. And on and on and on. Now, it goes, I'm going to talk about all of those 12 because they are the 12 signs of the zodiac, and what they have to say and what they mean are not any different today, because you remember, everybody remembers Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there again, it deals with deletions and additions. It actually means he said, I am is the way, the truth, and the life. See, what God is constantly trying to show you and me is the way, the steps to truth and life. Always. He's always trying to show you that. So, two other scriptures. Help me with this and I'll close. I know it's kind of... 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And then Genesis chapter 28. I'll use these two verses. I'll close and we're going to come back and work with all this stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, for we know that in the earthly tabernacle, that in the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That verse. Did y'all see that? Where is that house? You see, people think that that's some kind of a building built with bricks and boards. It's not. It's the 12 mansions in the sky. Now, go with me to Genesis chapter 28. Now, I'll close with this. Genesis chapter 28, verse 12. How many of y'all remember the story of Jacob and his dream and the thing called Jacob's ladder? Y'all remember Jacob's ladder? Okay. All right, let's just read it and look at it. Just about Jacob's ladder. Genesis 28, verse 12. It says, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder sent down upon the earth. The top of it reached to the heavens, and behold, an angel of God ascending and descending on it. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon you lie, where you liest, to thee will I give it, and to your seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you in all the places where you go, and will bring you again into this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of." And God is saying the same thing to you, Jacob. And when I'm talking to you, Jacob, I'm talking to you, all of you, as your natural man, because your natural man is the Jacob of God. And all the name Jacob means is deceiver, trickery. I noticed on the very front page of the Time magazine, which I get, on the front page of the Time magazine, it talks about scientists trying to understand the psyche of man, good / or against evil. How can some men be good, and they use Mahatma Gandhi, and other men be evil, then they used Osama bin Laden, Hitler, and then feel justified in either one of those two. And it all works right up here in the psyche. And they say, how could this be? And science are studying and trying to get onto that, Jacob. Because Jacob is always a type of the natural man. And what happens with Jacob is that he wrestles with God, and then he comes away no longer as a Jacob, but as an Israel, or a prince with God. So first, he's a deceiver. He's filled with trickery. That's what he wants to do. He's always trying to, he's looking for a better deal. And then he walks away after that moment of that time of intensity with God, and now he's different. So here's what he said. Verse 16, "And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Can we say that? Let's all say that. Say, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it." Well, you got quiet on that. You know why? Because it's just exactly, I go right back to my silly little illustration I gave you at the very beginning. When you move in front of a TV set that's been on, and you get close enough to it, it will pull your hair to it, and you can't see a thing going on. You see, right now, the energy that's coming out of those books that God is saying. How many of you know that words are vibrational? Every word goes out, it's a vibration. Well, those vibrations are coming out of the heavens because they are God's words speaking to us. Light is God's word speaking to us, and it's vibrating out of those heavens. And we are in this place and don't know it. Okay. It's verse 17. "And he was afraid, and he said, How dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he took stone. He took the stone that he had put for his pillow, and he set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel," which just simply means house of God. "But the name of the city was Luz," L-U-Z, and the word Luz means separation or departure. Which just simply means this, that man in his natural state of being has separated and departed from God, who God has always been in his house, calling for us, wooing us, and what he's doing is trying to woo us. We have departed, and God is wooing us back, and trying to show us the way and the steps back to Him. That's what the 12 mansions are about. That's what the 12 steps are about. That's what Jesus meant when He said, I am His. the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, he's saying, this is how you take steps to get back to God. And I have to tell you up front, most of us start out with baby steps. Or crawling. It's like the Buddhist asked one of his students a question, and he said, what kind of an animal is it? What is it that crawls on all four in the morning, at noon stands up and walks straight up on two, and then in the evening walks on three? And the student said, what? I don't know. And you know what the answer was? Mankind. Man starts out in infancy crawling on all four. When he becomes a man, he stands on two straight up. And when he gets old, he walks with a cane. That's the way of man. And God is always trying to draw us back to this path without condemnation, but in love. Love always, always is forgiving and always giving. That's what it's for. Love gives. That's what God is constantly. He's always trying to draw us back, woo us back and say, come back. Come back. Let me show you. Here's how. You know, I was thinking this morning early, just kind of in my meditation, I was thinking, you know, to the man who is just struggling with financial difficulty, God is saying, I have the resources. To the man or woman, mankind, who is struggling with peace in their life, God is saying, I am peace. To the people who are constantly in turmoil and war and fight, God is saying, I am peace. And it's only God that can say these things, that can offer these eternal truths. But we are so bent on doing things in a natural way, are trying to do it in a religious way that's just always rebuilding the natural shrines or houses. And God is just constantly, it amazes me, God just constantly loving us. He's always is not judging us, not mad at us, just loving us, saying, well, okay, you fail. Did you learn anything? You blew it. Are you going to do it again? You know, I know he answers that one himself. He said, yeah, you probably will. But just constantly loving us all the way through life, drawing us back. All right, amen. Hallelujah. Anybody have any questions or comments or...